Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Well, good morning, everybody, and good morning to you, Julie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Laurie. How are you?
Wonderful, thank you. On this kind of cloudy Friday morning, we tape on Friday morning and do a live to tape and throw it over for you guys to hear us on Saturday morning from 9 to 10 on our wonderful WILK. And we're talking a little bit about a lot of things happening. I'll tell you, Jewel, there's a lot going on, lots. And it always does in the fall, as it does. There's always so many things and all these wonderful events that are going to happen. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit later with Liz Baldy, who's going to talk to us from Scranton tomorrow about Small Business Saturday, which is a big thing. And Scranton tomorrow is so involved in that and working with local stores to encourage that to happen and for participation. And then after that, we are going to speak with Linda Robeson, who she and her family run the Family to Family program, Thanksgiving program, which has been going on for, dear God, years and years and years. And it's she and her son and his wife, and they have four young children, and they pull this thing together with so many volunteers and help from the community, both from getting, all of the food to the food vendors, to the volunteers, to the cultural center, to just a collaboration of everything, Friends of the Poor. There's just so much that goes on. And she's going to come on and talk to us, too. So 'tis the season for people who are in need, Julie, and people who are out there to help those who are in need. And I think it's important to highlight these folks because nothing speaks more to the holidays and the need for people to be helped with grocery prices the way they are, Julie, and have been and continue to be. It's let's face it, a lot of gouging that goes on. There's a lot. So we want to make sure that anyone who needs help is taken care of. And Linda can help you with that. Liz is going to talk to us about how you can support your local merchants and help them out and go and shop small, which I say shop small all the time because, to me, you never forget your small business owners. They are what make the world go round, and I love it. So I just don't always want just that Saturday after Thanksgiving. Let's do it all the time, but it is a good way to promote, and Scranton tomorrow does a good job with that, so we're going to talk about it. But Julie, there's so many things happening, which is good for us because we get to promote them and talk about them on the show, and get people on who need the time, in-kind time for them to talk about what they have to do to get things to where they are. So, you know, with everything you do, this is a really good time. I love it because there's so much out there and so much for you to think about doing and helping, even from a volunteer standpoint, Julie. If you don't have the money to give, you can give your time, which is another good way to look at things. You know?
Yes, volunteers are always appreciated, and I think they're in short supply anymore because people are often working multiple jobs. And, you know, that pool of help and support that some of these organizations used to get years ago has kind of dwindled. So, yes, if you have a couple hours to spare here and there, I'm sure your favorite nonprofit would be happy to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot that they can do and use. And here's just another shameless plug. I was sitting last night. I went to the Lackawanna Pro Bono dinner, which not dinner, but gala, I guess they call it, which is every November, and they honor three different people who are wonderful people in our community. And it's always, I go every year. I love it. I love it, love it. And so I was sitting with my niece, Tara Foley, who is a clerk for Judge Corbett, and she was there with her aunt, Patty Lafferty, who's also a local attorney. And we were talking, and Tara had said, oh, I gave so-and-so, her cousin, who's a junior leaguer with her, she said, I gave her your number because we might want you to speak for us. We want you to speak for us and talk about, you know, the training in the junior league. So that's another way that if you're listening and you're someone who might be interested in joining the Junior League of Scranton, it's a good way for you to become. They train you how to be a volunteer and board opportunities and all of the great things that you need or you could always use going forward in the community, to move forth in the community in a way that, in a direction of which you could see yourself and the organizations that you might want to help, that are of interest to you and something you want to support. And the Junior League is always a good way to start. So big, and I'm a past president of the league and a concurrent sustaining member, and I love it, and it's important. So volunteerism is a wonderful thing to do, and it just makes you feel good, and that's good. So we're happy about that. So I'm all about volunteering, and I've been a volunteer for a long, long, long time, whether it's a board seat
or life.
Just a for the most part, it's important.
Yes.
It's important to give back, and you know, my generation is very much into that. I don't know as much as people nowadays doing the younger people understanding the importance, but so it surprises me when I sometimes see these young kids and I think, oh, good, you're doing the right thing. So. Anybody out there who can volunteer, and there's so much to do, like Julie, driving people to cancer treatments and just, you know, reading to people, audio, working for the Blind Association, doing audio books so they can be recorded to read. I mean, there's so many things that you don't even think about. Volunteering, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, like all these kind of things that you can do on top of just, you know, the historical society and looking at ways to help them, anybody, the Cancer Society, all of these people who look for volunteers, and they're the core of their being, how they get things done. They wouldn't be able to do it without a volunteer force. The Scranton Cultural Center, to go and work in as a red coat, which are the volunteers who are, you know, work the theater. I mean, all of those, and you get to see the show. What a better way to do it. So there's just a lot that goes on, and there's a lot of volunteers at the Scranton Cultural Center, and some who have been there for years and years and years, and they just do a phenomenal job. They're on the ball. They're run by Donna Pivovarnik is the house manager, and she's got several people, such as Kathy Powell and Rosemary Baldy and Grace, which I can't think of Grace's last name at the moment. And these ladies are, you know, running this group of volunteers, both men and women, who we depend on, you know, when the Broadway shows are there or anything the Cultural Center is doing. It's a major core of people. So anyway, volunteers make a difference. And I think, when is National Volunteer Month? Julie, look, if you, because you're quick with your fingers.
I think that we should Google that right now.
Yeah, and see, while you're doing it, because I know you're fast.
Make a good point.
But it's just, it's important to do that. You feel better. It's not always like, oh, I can't do it unless I get paid. Like, come on, do something that will just help somebody. Really, I mean, come on. Whatever you put out, I'm here to tell you, whatever you put out always comes back. Always.
Right. You're so right. And I'm laughing because you're not just talking the talk. You walk the walk. I know
I do.
I've known you for a long time. And your CV is absolutely exploding with all of your volunteer service. So National Volunteer Week is April. This year it was April 21st to 27th. So it's in April. So in the spring, okay, we have to remember to talk about this again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're so right, though. So many of the wonderful memories that I have from childhood, especially at the holidays, they were attached to events that were primarily run by volunteers. And I always think of Santa's World this time of year, because as a kid, to go to the Globe Store and go through that absolutely fantastic.
Oh, the Junior League. Yes.
That was Junior League. And when I met Michael Gil Martin as an adult who was part of that, it was like meeting Santa. I said, oh, my goodness.
I know.
You were
exactly.
You did this for us. And it has stayed with me all these years. I mean, I was very young when that went on. And it was incredible. And it was all volunteers. I don't know how they did it. Quite frankly,
and at Christmas time, well, think about that. At Christmas time, when they have their own families that they have to decorate and buy for and bake for and do it, it was a minute. Now, I was not in the league then. I was younger and out of town when that was going on. But I remember it very fondly. I never was part of it as a league member because I wasn't involved then, and I never went through it because I was older. I was too old to do that. But I just kind of was like in between not being able to be there and not being able to volunteer. So it's just so important. And the Gilmartins have a small business that they've been running for years too, and still do that. So, you know, you can always find some time, hopefully, to help out and do those kind of things. If it fits in your schedule, you can do it. And it's a good way to do things. But those are the things that take time, and it does take time, but volunteering is anything. I mean, is everything. I remember even as a kid, my mother and my grandmother, they would bake things or make things for people or iron for someone so it wasn't like an organized volunteer corps that I would see in my house, but I would always see my parents doing things for people because they needed help or they needed this or they needed that, and they would do it. And that was just something I saw from my grandmother who lived with us, because we had that wonderful gift of intergenerational upbringing. And just to see how much went into that and how they would spend their time making sure they helped a neighbor or they helped a friend who needed this or that. That was always something we saw in our house, and that's why we all do what we do today in the Cadden family, the Jim Cadden family. It's what we saw, it's what we live, and volunteered. To me, it's just an important part of my life, is to make sure you give back. In whatever way you can, do it. But, yeah, so lots of good stuff. And this community is always first and foremost. They give you the opportunity to have ways to show the ability to get it done, and then the need that we have, and then the people who reach out and do what they're supposed to. It's a great thing. But I want to also, before we close this segment, say big congratulations to Ann and Dave Hawk. Attorney Teddy Michael and Attorney Marianne Gilmartin, who were part of the honorees last night at the pro bono event. Sylvia Hahn and is the executive director of Lackawanna Pro Bono, the work that's been done since 1996, and Carla Zero, who does development and planning there. She's a great gal and has done a great job. It's just a wonderful event, and they do wonderful work. And it was started many years ago by Carlene Gallo and Jill Miller, and then Bob Gownley, who passed away this year. They honored him and his family at the event last night, just because they were the three who started pro bono. And Sylvia gave the whole rundown on how it happened, and Carlene and Jill's discussion and going to Philadelphia and finding a prototype so that they could bring it back here. And it started, and Bob Gownley went with them. He was chairman of the or president of the Bar Association, and they took him, and they all jumped in. It was a great thing. So they do wonderful volunteer work as lawyers to help people who could otherwise not afford a lawyer. So keep going. Good work at Lackawanna Pro Bono. And we are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is Ms. Julie D'Emel, our producer extraordinaire. And Jules, go ahead and tell everybody what you do for a living.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, just visit my website at juliedemel.com.
And thank you, Jules. And with us, we have the lovely Liz Baldy, who is the Business Development Director for this wonderful nonprofit, Scranton Tomorrow, which I am a very proud board member of for many years. Liz is with us today because Liz is going to talk to us a lot about Shop Small Saturday, which is the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which I guess would be, which date is it?
The November 30th.
Right, 30th. Yeah. Last day of the week, month, baby. As someone said to me the other day, which was so funny, they said, well, since Thanksgiving is in December this year, because
basically,
we're still getting close. I love it. But anyway, Liz is going to talk about that. But before we start on that, we have to give Liz it's a little bit past, but a big happy birthday shout out to our dear friend,
gosh,
Liz Baldy. And she's got the most adorable two little dudes. And Liz, what do I always tell you about being a boy mama?
Oh, it is the absolute best. You're the queen.
Yeah, because they love you forever. I say that.
Oh,
boys just love their mamas. So
there's
no competition,
better.
No stealing your clothes, your lip gloss, or anything else. They love the mama, and that's it. So it's a good thing. And how old are those little tykes now?
Elijah is 4, and Noah is 2, and it's going by fast already.
I know. And one looks like a little Italian kid, and one looks like a little Irish kid. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. They look like neighbors.
Well, they're half Italian and half Irish, so you got the split there. That's what I say, Liz, all the time. I say that all the time. My brothers and sisters and I, we look like neighbors. We don't look. That's but then someone said, no, you do. But anyway, so give them a big smooch for us, and I hope you had a wonderful birthday, did you?
Oh, I did. Thank you.
Good, good. So, Liz, Julie's going to jump in on this because, full disclosure, as I said, I'm a board member of Scranton Tomorrow, very proud one, and Julie, her business, Julie DMO Communications, does work for you as a contracted service on in that realm. So
she is our PR guru.
Yes, she is one of the best around. I love her and she's excellent. And so Julie's gonna jump in on some of this. So I'm gonna let Julie ask a few and get going with this. So let's talk about small business Saturday, Jules. Go ahead. What's happening here? So Liz can help us with this.
There is so much to talk about. We have to get everything in, and I don't know how we'll do that, but we're going to hit the highlights. We'll hit the high points of it. I want you to tell everybody what Deck the Downtown is. If this is an annual, do you like how I ask you, and then I'm going to tell people it's a holiday campaign.
This is why we love you.
Liz has been refining now for several years, and it's really, really growing. It's grown exponentially in the last few years. It has Small Business Saturday included, but there's so much more. So Liz, if you could give everybody an overview of what your holiday campaign and event series is all about.
So I have now been at Scranton Tomorrow. It'll be 7 years in June.
Dear God.
We take pride in our ever-evolving, we pivot, we strategically change and grow our programming, specifically Deck the Downtown. It has grown so much. We have added so many new events and programs to it over the years because we have a great working relationship with all of the business owners. We meet with them one-on-one. We talk through ideas, and we really get their feedback as to what do they want to see us do? What will most benefit our small business community, and how can we grow, expand, and make it exciting for them, but really exciting for our community to embrace? So this year, Deck the Downtown has many new elements. It's in full gear right now, and we have our online gift card guide now up and live on ScrantonTomorrow.org, where you can go and look through all of the businesses downtown that have online gift card sales. Everything links right directly to their e-commerce page, so you could purchase it right then and there. Gift cards are always a great way to kind of get some early shopping done, so that's up and live as we speak. And then next, we have our Holiday Window Showcase. This is going to be our 16th year doing our Holiday Window Showcase. And what that is the competition amongst all of the businesses downtown, both retail and restaurants, but also professional service industry. Really, they've embraced this concept. It gets very competitive. But really, what it does for everybody is it transforms the downtown into a magical holiday wonderland. With twinkly lights and beautiful displays that you can walk around and look at nighttime. It really is one of my favorite parts of Deck the Downtown. I'm so happy that it's grown and we get so many participating businesses every year. And we announce our winners that are picked by a secret panel of judges at the county's tree lighting on December 6th. So that's when you'll find out who won in, I think, about 12, sometimes 13 categories. Sometimes we have to pivot last minute and add one in for something spectacular, but they will be announced on December 6th. And then we have our Black Friday, Small Business Saturday weekend, which is our huge shopping weekend, not only for the big box stores that people think about for Black Friday, but small businesses, they always do a really great job of promoting themselves and doing specials and deals and sales to really draw in their customers to do some of their holiday shopping locally. Small Business Saturday is quite large. It's nationwide. It is an initiative that was started by American Express. This is our 15th year doing it, and this is also their 15th year doing it. So we hit the ground floor on Small Business Saturday, and Scranton Tomorrow always registers as the neighborhood champion for downtown Scranton. And Small Business Saturday is notoriously one of the best business days for our small business community. And we decided this year to really capitalize on that and double down and add some additional program to make it really a day out in downtown. So you're not just hitting the shops and then going home. We added some additional activities and incentives for families and people of all ages to come downtown and really spend the day and embrace all of the incredible assets that we have in our downtown. So Small Business Saturday, as we mentioned, November 30th, the businesses will have sales, specials, and this year, Deck the Downtown Doorbusters, where the first 15 to 20 customers that are entering the shops that are participating in Small Business Saturday will receive a limited edition Deck the Downtown Christmas ornament while supplies last. And that will be for the first 15 to 20 customers through the door making a purchase. So that's very exciting. It's something,
that's cool.
A nice little giveaway. I mean, everybody, you know, you hear about doorbusters at big box stores, but we're going to do it on the local level. So we give another incentive for people to come down and come down early. But even though you're here early, we're going to give you something, another reason to stay. And this year we are going to utilize the newly finished Christopher A. Doherty Park. That is on the corner of Linden Street and Wyoming Avenue, and we will be having our holiday jubilee this year on Small Business Saturday from 11 to 1. Kids can come and get their photo taken with Santa. There's going to be some arts and crafts activities, and then NEPA Jazz Project will be playing live Christmas music. So it's another reason to kind of come and hang out, enjoy the day, bring the family, and then, of course, hit some restaurants, grab some lunch and dinner, and check out the window displays when it gets dark before you go home. There's something really
I love it. Liz, there's a lot going on, but that's wonderful because it's a great idea to do with the kids and have that park utilized, which is such a wonderful park. I love it there, and I love the little covered pavilion, which I'm sure, I guess, Santa will be hanging out up there, and having the arts and crafts, and oh my God, will there be like hot chocolate and stuff, or is that
We'll do some hot chocolate and some goodies and some treats for the kiddos, but also this year, Jerry's for All Seasons has generously donated our very first Christmas tree for the Pocket Park. So we are very excited. We're really going to transform it and decorate it and make it really nice on the corner. It's just another asset that we get to highlight and showcase that we have in downtown Scranton.
I love it. Oh, that's going to be wonderful. Liz, I have a question on the contest because I can't remember this, the decorating contest. Is there a theme that you ask them to follow, or is it do whatever the hell you want and we want to, as long as it's Christmassy and we'll come and check it out?
So we do not give a theme because we didn't want to put anybody in any kind of box that they had to follow, because a lot of the businesses really like to stay on brand or really kind
and
of showcase
thing,
what
yeah.
they have. So what we do ask is that there is a lit element so that after dark, we know that it's getting dark at like 4:30 now. We want downtown to thrive and be like have some nice vitality in the evening time. So we want them to be lit so that whether you're driving around or you're walking around, there's something to see, something very elegant and something very eclectic about that. So we do ask that it's lit, but other than that, they do not have to follow a theme. They can do whatever their heart desires, but make it good because our judges are very, very strict and they take their jobs very seriously.
So Liz, do people on the judging side, do you have your judges picked yet this year?
We have our select few that we do have returning. They are very dedicated to us, but we are always looking if anyone is interested to be involved. It's not a taxing job. We give the locations. You have to have all of your choices in by a special date, and then we have to go through and make sure that there's a consensus amongst the judges. There's always some deliberating towards the end, it's a really fun piece.
Well, it is. It's a good.
The businesses get really into it.
Yeah, and Liz, what I was going to ask is, since lighting is an element, are the judges? Yes. Do any of them do this after? Is it after hours where the
they go. They go at night, so we're not going to disclose who they are. We want them to be remembered.
No, they have to be secret Santas on this end.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
There we go. Liz, with all of this, and Julie and I were talking a little bit about this. Jewel, why don't you guys two talk about what what's going on for the public to use, what working with Scranton Tomorrow, these stores and restaurants get a lot of opportunity for promotion. So can you guys talk a little bit about what the stores and restaurants get out of being part of all of this, other than the, you know, people coming into the store to buy, but from us as Scranton Tomorrow?
So Deck the Downtown, we have incredible sponsors that make it possible for us to grow and expand each year. So PNC Bank is our presenting sponsor of Deck the Downtown, but our media partners, it's really something that captivates and helps get our engagement up with the business, because they see a value in how we're marketing and how we're promoting the event. So Lamar Advertising is our billboard sponsor. We have WBRE as our news broadcast sponsor. We just have an incredible Cumulus Radio is doing our radio ads for us this year. So we're always pushing out not only the activities that Scranton Tomorrow does, but it really what we're pushing out is the businesses that are participating. It gives them an opportunity to get their name out there. We utilize social media incredibly well, both Facebook and Instagram, to really double down and get our audience and our reach out there, so that they're going to these businesses' pages that maybe they did not know was there. They're discovering new businesses. They're seeing what inventory they have. It really is a benefit to the businesses that they get this all free of charge. As you mentioned, Scranton Tomorrow is a nonprofit. We are non-membership based, so everything that we do for the small business community is free of charge to them.
There you go. Well, you covered it, Lizzie. You covered it, kiddo. So thank you so much for coming on and talking about it. Liz, tell everybody how they can, if they want to participate or need information or become a judge or do something else, what's the best way to get in touch with you and or Scranton Tomorrow?
So if you want some additional information on what businesses are participating in each of our events that we have this year, our Scranton Tomorrow blog on scrantontomorrow.org. is your best bet, but also follow us on Facebook and Instagram, because we're going to be putting out additional information daily and sharing all of the deals and specials that the businesses are doing on our social media pages as well.
There you go. Well, Liz, we thank you for joining us this morning on this Friday morning. We look forward to seeing all the good work that Scranton Tomorrow does, and I am so thrilled about this park with the kids and all the fun stuff. It's going to be a blast.
Thank you so much for having us. We so appreciate it.
Well, we're all in this together. You, Julie, and yours truly here. We're all working for the same cause, so let's just keep doing it. So thanks for joining us. And everybody else, do get out and shop small and look for Deck the Downtown and all the good stuff that Scranton Tomorrow's doing, and take your kiddies down, your grandkids, whomever, and celebrate with Santa at the Christopher A. Doherty Park on the corner of Wyoming Avenue and Linden Street. And thanks, Liz. We'll see you guys. We'll be back soon. Hang on there. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is the lovely producer extraordinaire of this great show, Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. And, Jewel, tell them what you got, kid.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing in northeastern PA and beyond. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit juliedimmel.com.
And with us today is the lovely Linda Robeson. Linda is the director of Family to Family. She's a good old West Sider. See her house all the time as I'm driving by to go to my sister's, and I think of her often. Beautiful home, and has done such wonderful work in this community with this Family to Family project. She and her son have been doing things for, Linda, how many years now running this organization?
This is actually our 10th year.
Oh, my God. 10 years that Linda, the family, the Bernie family, were the founding family of Family to Family, and Linda and her son took this over. In, well, as Linda said, 10 years ago, which I cannot believe. It's dear my God, time flies. And Linda does an incredible job with their family and with their beautiful son, Ryan. And what's Ryan's wife's name, Linda?
Mary Christine.
And then you have four beautiful grandchildren, which we talked about early. Go ahead, give them a shout out there with their names up, Linda.
Lucia, Ariana, Daniel, and Dominic, the loves of my
and
life.
There you, Ah, and see, it's wonderful, and it, and that's what it's all about, is family. So we have to give credit to all these family, and he and Ryan is a fireman just like his dad, and you guys continue to give back as a family to this community, and in learning, like, just everything you were just telling me about their young family and what they do and how they live, and it's just amazing, and God bless him. He's just a fine young kid. I remember when he was such a little boy, and here he is as a man with four children of his own. It's scary, scary. But we want to talk about this family-to-family program, because to me, it's one of the most important things to do throughout the year. It is something that it means a lot to me, because I worked at the Scranton Cultural Center for many years, and then they were my very first contracted service when I started my own business 15 years ago. And so I used to do my volunteering, which we talked about earlier, Jewel, and I used to do every single, I would bring my kids with me in the morning to be there to distribute baskets and fill baskets and make sure everything was there. And just as an employee of the Cultural Center, to see how things, you know, from working there and being part of it, it's been an important thing to me, and I can continue to contribute. If I can't do the volunteer end of it, I'm always contributing. We have got to do this, because this is so important, Linda, that families feel that they can stop in and pick up everything they need to host a Thanksgiving within their family, and they get this, and they come in, and they take it, and they go home, and they can prepare it. Tell everybody, Linda, a little bit about what's in their basket when they come in, and why it's so important for your family to continue this phenomenal tradition in our town.
Well, that's just it. It's a beautiful, beautiful tradition. And what has made it fascinating, because, you know, I was a volunteer for many, many years. I mean, I've been volunteering for the whole Thanksgiving program for probably 30 years, you know, and like I said, just running it for the last 10. But the tradition of parents bringing their kids, who are now bringing their kids, who want to be a part of this, and being a part of the community, I love seeing every walk of life come together to support the community. You know, we have bankers and bikers and mothers and fathers and grandparents, and, you know, we just have everybody who is there working hand in hand to make sure that everybody gets a meal. And of course, like you said, we want everybody to cook the meal in their own house. So we give them, mm-hmm. you know, everything that they need. They have turkey and potatoes and yams and stuffing, bread, a pumpkin pie, cranberry sauce, green beans, carrots, and corn. I hope I didn't miss anything, but it's a pretty full bag of groceries. And of course, this year we're trying to feed 4,000 families, which is the most we've ever tried to feed. Because last year we ran out of food after we fed 3,600 families. So the need continues to grow. It's kind of one of those numbers you don't really want to see go up, because it just means that more people need help. But as long as the number continues to grow, we're going to do everything that we can to help support all of these families in need.
And Linda, how do you know how much you need? I mean, what is the process, because this I never knew, of is there a registration? Do people just show up? How do you know what the number is out there?
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we've kind of gone on past numbers. You know, and believe it or not, the weather plays a big factor in it, you know, because if the weather is not very good, then people don't want to drive and don't want to come out. So we always pray for good weather so that people can come out. But certainly, you know, now after 10 years, and because, don't forget, Family to Family does this for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. So we have seen the numbers grow, especially, you know, you hate to keep talking about COVID, but that's kind of when everything changed. You know, the mm-hmm. need just increased so much. You know, there were so many more families in need. And so just kind of based on how many people we see coming through every year for every holiday, And you know what? We ran out of food last year by like 1 o'clock, and that just broke our hearts for the people that were still trying to come and get food. Because you tell everybody you're preparing for all these meals, and then you're like, oh my gosh, we ran out, and now we have nothing left. So trying to fill that gap, you know, by providing more meals, but of course it also requires a lot more money. So it's,
right.
You know,
Well, Linda, the thing is, even like you were saying, weather, you know, weather is an important factor, because not only can people not get there if it's a bad time, maybe, but there are people on foot who are walking to pick up this stuff and waiting and then having to get from there back home, right? There's not just vehicles.
Right.
There's on foot people. So, yeah.
You know, and I was just talking about that this morning, because people didn't realize that people still come on foot. But one of the main reasons that we've been at the Cultural Center is so that we can reach everybody. Because as you know, we're surrounded by the high rises and elderly people. So they all walk. They're not going to drive anywhere for a dinner. So this is the most convenient people for people who live in the city, and then for people to drive through. We realize it kind of causes a traffic jam for a little while, but for the most part, I have to say people are very, very patient with this. Like, they've come to expect it.
Mm-hmm. And as we just talked about earlier, you just drive up through Posh and go right in, like some people we know did. But the point is,
we won't tell everybody that secret.
We won't. I just did. Didn't tell anyone it's a secret. But I do think, Linda, that doing this. Let's talk a little bit about your sponsors and how many volunteers you get on a yearly basis to come in, because not only do you have to get the stuff in there, you got to fill those bags and baskets, whatever we call them, and get them to everybody and get it all ready to go so people just pick them up as they go down the line. So how many volunteers do you kind of get on an average year?
Do you know what? It's hundreds. It's absolutely hundreds. And, you know, it starts like the day before, because we're actually unloading tractor trailers the day before.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we have volunteers that show up with me at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning to set up tables. Because believe it or not, we have to set up like 50 tables outside to put all the food on.
Yep.
And, of course, you have the tent rentals, and you have all of those people that come from all different areas. And then, you know, we have kids that come from every school district. You know, I mean, the great thing is that a lot of the kids need service hours. And like I said, they've been doing this for so long. It's become part of their family tradition. And so we have hundreds of kids that show up, and just so many businesses. But yeah, I would easily say it's several hundred, because you need, because it's now the format that it is, you need probably close to 100 people inside filling the bags, and then all the people who are outside trying to keep the line moving and just keep traffic flowing outside. So it can be a logistical nightmare,
but we've kind of run it down like a
chaotic, well-oiled machine, if that
makes
sense.
There you go. But Linda, did that new system change with COVID, right? The outdoor part of it, and it worked, so you kept it in that fashion, right?
Well, it did, because, you know, people, I mean, yes, we talked about the elderly and people that walk from the city, but we have a lot of elderly that come from outside the area. I mean, not right in Scranton. So it just became easier, you know, for people. The thing that we miss the most is like the interaction with everybody, because as people are driving up, it's not like you have time to ask them how they're doing, or, you know, I mean, you're trying to say Happy Thanksgiving as you're throwing a turkey. Well, not throwing a turkey in their car, but putting a turkey in
Exactly. Well, you got to keep it moving.
Know,
yeah.
Because you do have to keep it moving. So you miss a lot of the one-on-one interaction with people that we used to get on the inside. So that part is always a little bit sad. But just seeing the amount of people that we're able to serve by doing it in this fashion certainly really makes up for it.
And Linda, how much now, what is the price that it's up to feed an average of each basket? What is that cost now per bag, per basket?
Well, I do have to say Schiff's works with us very, very well to help us get the best prices. We start ordering food in like June and July for all of this and to try and get what we need. So the turkeys are like 10 to 12 pounds, so they're a little bit smaller this year, but still a nice-sized turkey. And so it cost about $40,000 or $40 per family. The problem is that we need, you know, 4,000. So you're talking about, you know, 40-some thousand pounds of turkeys, which everybody knows the price of turkey is kind of expensive. So our bill for Thanksgiving alone can run anywhere between $150,000 and
$175,000. Wow. And who are, Linda, who are some of your wonderful sponsors that help you get, beside people who make individual contributions, who's out there helping you that steps up year after year that just cut down on the cost for you?
Oh my gosh, we have so many wonderful sponsors, and I don't want to leave anybody else or think that, you know, I'm not grateful. You know, I mean, we have Shifts that, of course, helps us, or, you know, they help us do everything. And Cooper's just had a wonderful fundraiser for us, you know, where we were selling their crab bisque and made over $10,000 doing that.
Wow.
You know, the Hawk Family Foundation certainly is always extraordinarily generous, but we have people who sponsor us, you know, year after year. And you know what? To be perfectly honest, a lot of our sponsors aren't looking for recognition.
Notoriety.
You know what I mean? You know, because they just really, truly believe in the program and what we're trying to do by feeding people. So I apologize that I can't name everybody because
there are too many. Yeah, and you don't have to. I was just trying to point out some of the ones that you had said, because these are people who you count on year after year to help you in a bigger way, which makes a big difference in all of these donations. So an individual donor, Linda, how can they get, what do they do to make a donation to you for Family to Family to feed everybody? What's the way they can get money to you?
So if they're like me and they like writing checks and doing everything by hand, you can mail a check into Family to Family, P.O. Box 13, Scranton, Pennsylvania, 18501, or they can go to www.friendsofthepoor.org, friendsofthepoorscranton.org, and they can donate online.
There you go. Well, it's a wonderful way to celebrate Thanksgiving when you know. I used to say when I was there and donated my time, the next day when I had my Thanksgiving dinner, I always felt like it was the best thing I did, because it was some way, shape, or form that you knew you did something so good for this community and that you helped people feel a little bit better about putting food on their table to help their family and celebrate what Thanksgiving is all about. Friends and family eating a wonderful meal and feeling good about their family. So, Linda, we feel good about your family and what you've done to take over from the wonderful Bernie family, who are the founding family, and all the work they did. And how many years now is Family to Family going on?
It's either our 38th or 39th year. So,
oh my
and
God.
We just can't say thank you enough to everybody who helps us, because, as you know, it takes a huge team.
Village.
Of people to put this together. And we are just so appreciative to all the people who donate. And again, we are just as happy with the $5 donations as we are with the, you know, much larger donations. We just appreciate all the help that we can get. And it's my favorite day of the year. It just is
too.
My favorite day. So
I love it. I love
thank
Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much,
Oh, Linda, we are thrilled to do it. Please remember, Family to Family, P.O. Box 13, Scranton, Pennsylvania, 18501. And make a donation. As Linda said, it can be anything, because every penny adds up to help defray the cost of almost $175,000 a year to put this on just for Thanksgiving. So thank you, Linda Robeson. You and your beautiful family continue all the wonderful work. May God continue to bless you in abundance of everything you need to make this work for all of the families of our region to have a beautiful holiday. So thank you. Thanks for coming on today. It was good to see you last night. You're beautiful as always. And I will talk to you soon and hope to run into you, but I'll make my donation today too. So thank you, honey, and have a great weekend, everyone else. You're welcome. Everyone else, have a wonderful weekend. We so thank you for listening. If you can help please feel free to donate. Again, P.O. Box 13, Scranton 18501. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. See you next week. In the meantime, be safe and please be nice. Bye.